isn't about two nerdy girls who just want to go and dress up like popular girls and somehow bag the popular guy. It's not that. It's really a relationship story about friendship in what, for most people, is the most intimate relationship of their lives before they move on into adulthood. It's really intense.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sitting Around Talking Movies. That was Olivia Wilde, the actress turned director for her new movie talking about Booksmart. And I'm joined, as always, by Bill Brigoli.
I'm smart.
And Bill McCuddy.
I haven't read a book in a while.
So we're going to talk about Booksmart. We're going to talk about Disney's new
100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Worth every tomato.
Worth every tomato.
Not as far as I'm concerned. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about Aladdin, Disney's new live-action remake of their classic animated cartoon from 1992. I've seen a new Netflix show called Dead to Me with Linda Cardellini, Bill McCuddy's secret crush, and Christina Applegate is also in that. But let's start talking about Booksmart. Who would like to describe the film before we get into critical analysis of the...
It's super bad with chicks, and I have to say that I was blown away by this thing. I saw it with my wife and daughter like 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago at an advanced screening, and I saw it with a pretty full audience of, let's say, 70 or 80 people. It was a small screening room. And I have to tell you, the whole place was laughing from beginning to end. I mean, I think every generation gets a kind of Fast Times at Ridgemont High kind of movie. And this one gets it with women. And it's not any funnier because of that, but it's kind of nice. And Beanie, is it Feldstein?
Yeah.
That's Jonah Hill's sister, who was so great in
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird, my number one movie last year. That it's great to see her in a lead role that's like laugh out loud funny. There are things that shouldn't work in it, like a murder mystery sequence and a completely animated doll sequence that like is just crazy over the top.
Yeah, funny.
And
ha, ha, ha.
I have to tell you, I love this movie, and so does everyone else.
That's
except
right.
For
but
one
go
man.
Go ahead, Bill Brigoli.
Well, what I liked about it is Bill was talking about the look of it. A lot of these teen comedies look kind of like TV shows. They're flat, mm-hmm. The photography's, and this is actually really well shot. And Olivia knows her way around directing, I think.
Her husband, Jason Sudeikis, is in it as a very funny principal of the school. And he told me about 2 weeks ago that he was never prouder. Like, he wasn't sure what it was going to be, but he saw her like running around the set and knew absolutely what she was doing. And listen, I guess it's not for everybody, but it's for most people.
Well, it's not for me. And I found the humor to be really sophomoric and inane. I credit Olivia Wilde, if she's going to, in her directorial debut, for tackling subject matter that you would not think that Olivia Wilde, I mean, out of the box, she's doing a high school teenage comedy. But I found this to be, as you said, Superbad meets Animal House, meets about a dozen other of these teen comedies, all done to better effect. I think that Beanie Feldstein has good comedic timing, but I don't think that the material suited her. I mean, I don't think, you know, throwing up on somebody is funny, which is a scene
that
in the
wasn't
movie.
Played for laughs. That was to show how embarrassed she was.
Well, I didn't.
I threw up in a
and
day
as Mrs.
once.
As Mrs. McCuddy says, someone throws up in every
okay,
movie.
Okay, so let's talk about that sequence when they take, was it Molly or what?
Yeah.
Some kind of drug. And then it goes into some kind of Gumby kind of
stop motion animation
sequence, which I didn't find to be all that interesting or funny. And again, I've seen all this stuff done in many, many other films. And the only thing that made this different, the two things that made it different to me is one, it was updated for this particular, as you said, Bill McCuddy, you know, every generation has one of these, to this particular generation where there's texting and all kinds of other things that fall into a 2019 category.
Billionaire yacht party.
But, you know, yeah, that was just, the whole thing was just, the writing was so stupid. And the other thing that was interesting is that usually these comedies have male leads. There were two female leads in here, and I don't think you pointed this out in your synopsis, but these two girls are very nerdy, and they're trying. You know, they were very studious for their 4 years of high school, And actually, I like this part of the movie. They find out that all these people that were like kind of goofing off and partying and having fun. This one
stoner slacker
Yale.
Types.
Yeah, this one gets into Yale. This one gets into Princeton. This one gets into Penn. And they're working their ass off, and they're getting into the elite schools. But so they decided on the last night of before graduation, they're gonna cram 4 years of partying into one night, which is kind of a traditional premise. But I like when they were walking around the high school, finding out of all of these kids that they consider to be like morons made these elitist schools. But who knows? Maybe their parents were like Lori Loughlin or
No. You're missing Felicity Huffman, the whole point.
And, paid off to get them into
the whole point of it was that these girls who are very accepting still have their faults, and they didn't really see their friends for what they were until they go partying with them, and then all of a sudden they have a whole different view on these people that they went to school with their whole lives.
Well, you know, I didn't hate
Beanie
the movie.
Was crushing on one guy that she thinks does like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and the other girl is like...
crushing on the skater girl.
She's a lesbian, and she's kind of crushing on this other girl. But, you know, as Bill McCuddy will tell me, and I will tell you, he knows how to get in my head. And he did, because he told me this was like the greatest movie ever. So, of course, I went in with very high expectations. And he built it up to such an extent that not only could nothing live up to those expectations, so that, you know.
Well, I stand corrected on the Rotten Tomatoes. It's 99% because one
you know,
critic.
Bill got into my head, too, and he built it up. And it was, for me, that particular night that I saw it was a choice between Aladdin and Booksmart. And the choice was, okay, do I see yet another Disney live-action remake with Will Smith, or do I see a movie with about two high school girls, one of whom is a lesbian? You know which one I went with. So I haven't seen Aladdin. You get to tell me what that's
all
about.
Well, we'll talk about Aladdin. Right.
Well, all I'm going to do before we talk about Aladdin
we'll
is say that
Booksmart.
Let's finish it this way. I predict it will be one of the runaway smash hits of the summer.
I think so, too. And Neil, did you notice who played Gigi? The character Gigi, who showed up in every scene. She jumped in the water at one point.
Oh.
She was in the yacht. Who is that?
I don't know.
Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Billy Lord.
Oh. No kidding.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Jonah Hill's sister, this Beanie Feldstein, looks like a... And this is not a knock on her. She, you know, I'm looking at her.
I wouldn't call it a compliment either.
No, she looks like a female version of Jonah Hill. I think her timing is very good. I just didn't think the material, you know, supported her. The other female lead...
$100 million comedy.
Kaylin Dever, the other female lead.
Yeah, I mean, she was
She
fine.
Was great, too.
She was really great. You know, and the girl that she had a crush on... I think all the actors.
The girl that
fun.
She had a crush on, I looked EPK.TV. I went to
the
see
one that got vomited on.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, no, she didn't have a crush on her. She got a crush. She had a crush on the skater girl.
Okay.
Right, and then the skater girl, I looked her up on the EPK to find an interview clip with her, and she pretty much is her character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she is a skater
well,
girl.
I'll just leave. You can chime in after, but I'll just leave you by saying that. I didn't, you know, maybe if I was a, you know,
smarter guy,
high school student or something like
Viral
that.
Young
or,
man.
You know,
had a better sense of humor.
I didn't connect to any of these characters. I didn't really care about their, you know, that's really the bottom line with most movies. You got to really care about the characters.
I welled up at the end. I cared about them
I
so
didn't
much.
Care about either one of these girls, you know, and their night of partying and their exploits. And I, you know, if there was some connection, despite the weaker material that I felt it was, I would have said like, okay, well, you know, got me. I was kind of, but I did not really give a shit like what happened to them.
Okay.
But apparently, I stand alone in this room. And
you are all alone.
To Rotten Tomatoes and a lot of my colleagues who I've read their reviews after I saw this thing that were just like, "Wow, this is terrific." So
we report, you decide.
All right. Well, let's move on to Aladdin. Okay, so here's a movie where I had the opposite feeling going into it, whereas I was not dreading it, but certainly not looking forward to it because I'm getting sick of these, you know. Strictly for money, Disney live action remakes. What's the point of this? I mean, it's just a cash machine of like, let's redo this one, let's redo that one. And how do you fill the shoes of Robin Williams? This is before I go in. I mean, that's just such a
actually the pointed upturned slippers.
Yes, it's such an iconic role. I mean, those hand drawn cartoon from 1992, which was inspired by. These Al Hirschfeld drawings, the guy that used to hide the Ninas in the New York Times.
Yes.
And it was just really beautiful animation. And Robin Williams was just like, like Robin Williams at his best, really. I mean, Disney knew how to just capture the manic comedy of that guy and just draw to it. And how do you even do something like that in a live-action version? So I'm walking into this thing with very, very low expectations. And I have to tell you, if you're going to do this, if you're going to go to the trouble of spending all this money and making a live-action version of Aladdin, Will Smith plays the genie. And is he as good as Robin Williams? Certainly not. But I think he does a decent job. And I think the two leads that played, you know, Princess Jasmine and Aladdin, who becomes Prince Ali, were fine. And I think that it was a pretty decent job. I think if you're a kid and you never saw the original and you go, I think you're going to be wowed by the thing. And I think it's a good family movie. And no, it does not equal the original, but it's a pretty damn good job. It's certainly better than that Beauty and the Beast live action thing that they did with what's her name from Harry Potter played Belle?
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson. Thank you, Bill Bregoli.
Well, it is better than that, but it's still, I have to tell you, I was annoyed by this movie because...
No, we're just not on the same page with anything today.
I just think that Will Smith looked really uncomfortable in the role of the genie. First of all, he's the top line star, and he's not in like the first 30 minutes of the movie.
That was
they have
true
to
with
find...
the cartoon, but the cartoon was saved by my good friend Gilbert Gottfried as Iago. He got a lot to do in the beginning of that movie. That's all that kept you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I will tell you that this Iago does not even come anywhere near close.
It's Alan Tudyk.
Was Gilbert even offered, or did he?
No.
I mean, Gilbert didn't steal the movie because Robin Williams' presence is just so amazing in that original. But Gilbert was great.
He saved the first act. So sure.
Well, Iago in this one is not great. I mean, he's okay, but it's a long time for and some big set pieces, including finding the lamp in the
in
this cave.
But that's in the cartoon. As Bill Bregoli said, it's half an hour that you go in there where he's like...
Right, but it's boring. You're waiting for... If you go in to see a Will Smith movie, you're waiting for Will Smith. And when he gets there, he's a little...
He does open the movie.
Yes, very briefly, yes.
First 5 minutes of the movie.
He's kind of... And he can't sing. That's the other thing that really blew my mind is that these people don't seem to be able to sing, even the woman playing Jasmine, until later in the movie when they kind of sort of find their pipes. The whole thing felt like to me like everybody was waiting for everything to fall into place. And I think for Will, that's definitely
a
detraction.
I mean, he made his name before the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He
wasn't a singer.
He was a rapper.
That's a whole different set of skills.
True. Well, I'll give you that. Okay. But he was in the music industry. Let's put it to you that way.
Yeah, well, that doesn't help.
His songs, in fact, should have been raps. I think that would have been a cool twist on it and an updating.
Oh,
but
that's interesting. Never had a friend like me rap style.
Maybe, yeah. But anyway, I thought this was okay, not great.
I would give it on my Big Apple rating scale out of a possible 4. I'd give it a solid 3 and maybe even like 3.5.
Oh, boy.
I mean, look, I mean, when they do A Whole New World, when they're flying around, that Agrabah, which is the town in the movie, on the magic carpet, you know, Prince Ali Aladdin and Princess Jasmine. Yeah, I mean, as opposed to the cartoon, they've, you know, CGI'd this great-looking Arabian city. I mean, it really kind of – and the Prince Ali number, Prince Ali, I mean, you know, when he comes in with the elephants and the marching band.
That's what I'm telling you. It starts to get some momentum
later
in the movie.
That's a hell of a production number, you know? And at the end,
especially
it's like a Broadway
for a guy like
show.
Guy
they come out for curtain calls. And
who normally does Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and stuff like that.
On paper, this should have been terrible. Right. The wrong director, Guy Ritchie, like you said, Lock, Stock, and Snatch, and all those British...
Sherlock Holmes?
He has done some bigger stuff.
Yeah, but not a Disney musical. And Will Smith sounds like awful to be the genie. But I thought it worked, you know? And no, again, for the third time, the original is better, but I did like this movie. And I was even emotionally grabbed by it.
Going to make a lot of money?
I think, it's not going to crash and burn like Dumbo. Did Beauty and the Beast make a lot of money?
Yeah, I think it did.
It did.
Okay.
Did very well.
I think it'll do Beauty and the Beast numbers. I think that... you know, people are looking for family entertainment.
Timing. Kids are just about out of school, too.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you think it'll do on reviews? Because it hasn't opened
it's
yet.
It's very mixed.
Uh-oh, there's Will Smith calling now.
Hold on.
Thanks for having your phone on during this.
Hello.
No, I can't talk. I'm doing the podcast.
Jesus, man. I keep getting... You know, you don't even have to cut this out.
Okay.
Because I will tell you that I
he's
keep
gonna
getting...
He's going to go off
these,
on a rant
I'm gonna
here.
I'm going to mute it now. I keep getting these robocalls all day long with these recordings of like, I'm a preferred Marriott guest. I don't even stay at Marriott hotels. I mean, you know.
After that court order, you can't.
I get the call saying, we're concerned about your car's warranty, and I don't even own a car.
Right, I get that. You get the Chinese one where they just.
Oh, yeah, I get the Chinese.
Yeah, what is that Chinese woman? And
it's like, I don't want to be Rosie O'Donnell here, but I mean, it's like it's an incomprehensible Asian language of some sort. And it's
Mandarin.
Yeah, and they're just talking, and I don't know what they're saying. I mean, and these things have. So I just muted the phone. I apologize, but yeah, these robocalls are just really bad. So you were saying, I said, you said there have been some reviews on.
Yes, actually, if you go to therap.com, they actually have a compendium of all the different critic reactions to the movies, and they're mixed. There are some people who said that basically this was the wrong director for the wrong material, and that it is, or it's Disney on Ice without the ice, stuff like that.
Well, we'll play the game, but it's going to be a different kind of version of the game today, because I don't think you'd have any interest in seeing this movie, regardless of what I or Bill said. But regardless, so would that be true? I mean,
I'm like, going to see the movie, but not this weekend.
You're
going
to see it because you just feel you need to see it.
I wanted to tell someone about it.
Okay.
You're
going to pay money.
I'm going to pay money, and okay. I'm going to tell Gilbert, who I know.
Yeah, he's going to tell Gilbert that he was a much better Iago.
Yeah,
because Gilbert won't go.
Why don't you go with Gilbert?
He won't be seen in the theater watching this.
Oh, well, you know, it would have been kind of cool since it's live action, but it's just the voice of a parrot. If they had brought Gilbert back, I mean, just the way they're bringing back James Earl Jones to be the voice of Mufasa in the new Lion King remake, which is coming out shortly, directed by Jon Favreau, who Bill McCuddy knows all too well, and you know Bill Brigoli directed the live-action Jungle Book, and they're bringing him back as the voice of Mufasa. So I think they should have brought Gilbert back to be the voice, because this new guy who does Iago, adds nothing to this thing for me.
Yeah.
He's not funny. He's just reading dialogue.
Yeah, well, Gilbert made up a lot of his own dialogue for that. So
did he really?
Yeah, he did.
So nobody approached Gilbert. Nobody wanted Gilbert.
As far as I know.
And do you think that this has anything to do with the fact, I know Gilbert lost his Affleck contract because...
No, they've used... Actually, Disney has used him for other projects since Affleck.
That would have been very cool if they brought Gilbert
back.
Yeah,
it would have been good.
And then you would have said, look, and Gilbert's back. Because everybody loved Gilbert as that parrot. I know. Well, you know?
Rotten Tomatoes 60% so far, but not that many...
So I am going to see the movie, but this weekend I'm going to see Booksmart again. So
again?
I'm going to pay to see
that. Yes, going back to see Booksmart.
Yeah.
Are you bringing somebody or just for your own edification?
I may bring somebody.
What?
I may bring a neighbor of mine.
But even without bringing, you're still going back to see it again?
Yeah.
Because you liked it that much.
I liked it. And it's going to be hot this weekend and, you know, someone else's air conditioning.
Wow.
It's also fun to see a movie like that with a crowd.
A real crowd. I saw in a critics crowd, I was seated in a row of all women. And
Allison Bales?
No.
Be honest.
No, she saw it 3 weeks ago. No, women I didn't know, some with shaved heads, you know. But it was interesting to hear mostly women laugh during the film. It's like a whole different sound.
Okay, I'm going to talk about a movie. We have a lot to talk about next week because a lot of things are opening, like Rocket Man and Ma, the new Octavia Spencer movie. There's a lot
Godzilla.
Of stuff.
Godzilla.
So I'm going to, what?
Godzilla.
Right, Godzilla. And Bill did the junket on that. So I'm actually going to talk about a movie that opens next weekend, not this weekend, because I really love this movie. They sent me a link to this. It's a documentary, and it's called Echo in the Canyon. And what it is it's a doc on the sound that came out of Laurel Canyon in Los Angeles area in the late 1960s.
The sound of motorcycles?
No, it was music. And I know you're kidding, but they talk about how they were influenced by the British invasion and the Liverpool sound and the Beatles, but how the Beatles were also influenced by all the stuff that was coming out of Laurel Canyon, and they show you examples. And live, I mean, like not like they have a lot of archival footage from the 1960s, but present-day interviews with... Well, first of all, this guy, Jacob Dylan, who's Bob Dylan's son, gets everybody that's like still alive from this to talk to him on camera, like David Crosby and Graham Nash and Stephen Stills, obviously from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and the only surviving member of the Mamas and the Papas, Michelle Phillips, and Tom... It was the last interview.
And this is a thing? They all agree it's a thing? It's real that Laurel Canyon really did...
It's unbelievable.
I've never heard of that.
I will send...
Have you heard that musical theory before, Bill? That the origins of some of these most famous music trends were came out of
Laurel
Canyon.
That's not even the point. It's the point of how innovative and how the world musically was changing in the mid to late 60s and how much the artists in Laurel Canyon changed music. And it was...
Because they all happened to live there?
Well, it was kind of a weird thing. They said there was no like bar to go to where they all hung out, so they all kind of just went to each other's house and said, "Hey, I just came up with this," you know.
Hey,
and Roger McGuinn's in it, and but they show you all the like Ed Sullivan and Hullabaloo and Shindig clips from like the 1960s where they're playing these songs, and then they'll have people comment, you know, like surviving members of those bands commenting on what they were doing and what it was like being on those shows back then. It was terrific, and. It's educational. And then Jacob Dylan with a modern band, because most of these people have lost their voices today. They're like in their 70s. So Jacob Dylan, who's, I guess, probably like 40-something with contemporary musicians, will play covers of these iconic songs like California Dreamin' or I don't know.
Where does he do that? At somebody's house?
No, they do. They it's in a big theater somewhere. I don't know the undisclosed location, but it's
and
a
what's
theater
this
that looks
movie
sort
called?
Of like the Beacon Theater. I don't know, but it's, I guess it's somewhere in Los Angeles. It's called Echo in the Canyon. It opens on the 31st of March. We're going to do
May.
It on our
March.
Television. What, of May, I'm sorry. We're going to do it on our television show next month, although we just did an episode yesterday, which will air on Friday, March 31st, and I will send links with Chris Najuwadi from Entertainment Weekly, myself, Lisa Rossman, and Bill McCuddy, who's sitting here. But it's
Is it on demand as well, or is it on platforms?
No, it's opening up in theaters, and not big theaters. I mean, like the Village East in New York and stuff like that. But here's another film. I mean, I just like sent me a link. I go, all right, I'll check this out, you know. And I got, and here's the ultimate compliment for a film like this. I spent hours afterwards just YouTubing a lot of these songs to just watch, you know, and Wikipedia-ing, like the to get more background and more information on how these groups just kind of, you know, change the face of
it's
a
funny.
Lot of
I never
music.
Liked any of those groups growing up.
Really?
Tom, yeah, so it's Tom
I was
Petty.
I know
Tom Petty's
Petty.
In it,
yeah.
And he it's his Didn't last.
No Crosby, Stills,
it's
Nash.
His last interview before he died. Jackson Browne is in it.
He's okay.
And it's just.
Didn't he used to beat up Daryl Hannah?
Well, that was the line on it that okay. he was physically abusive to Daryl Hannah, but. I don't know. I love this thing. I can't speak highly about
All
it.
Right.
And, you know, we've done some musical documentaries in the past, like Standing in the Shadows of Motown, which Bill and I, McCuddy and I
yeah.
really loved, which talk about, you know, which,
and
it, by the way,
Sun
wanna,
City, wasn't that one of the, or whatever
what
the.
What was the one with the control? There was,
yeah, that David, whole, that, what's his name, bought.
David Grohl. There's a whole movie dedicated to like a
Studio
a board.
City or Sun City or Sun City
it's
Studio.
But what do you call it? What do you call that?
Mixer.
A sound mixer board or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
Right. So the whole movie is about the sound mixer board, which apparently musicians from all over the world would come to this studio just so
well,
they
could
it's record.
Also about Fleetwood Mac was discovered there. It's
yes,
some other stories that pour
correct.
Out of it.
Yeah, that's a great movie. So there are these a couple of these musical documentaries that are just great, and I think this is just tremendous.
Another one of them.
And yeah, I highly. You will see the movie. I will send you both links to the movie.
You say that and you never do.
No, I will. I promise I will. I promise I will. It's real good.
You're like Jimmy Dean. You promise good links and you never deliver.
Echo in the Canyon.
Did we talk about the DeLorean film?
No. I'm interested in that because no one sent me a link to that either.
Oh, yeah. You were supposed to send him a link to that.
I don't.
Framing John DeLorean.
I have an expired link to that.
No, goody.
But yeah, send him that.
Yeah, that'll do you. You'll enjoy that. Well, they get that link was like a 3-day link. It was like you know, you get it like on a June, you know, May 1st, and it's like expires on.
That's a linkette.
What?
That's a linkette.
It's a linkette. But sure, why don't you talk about framing it? But it doesn't open until June 7th. You sure you want to do that?
It's on demand now. Isn't it on some platforms?
June 7th.
All right. Well, I will just say that between now and then, Bill, we'll get you a link.
Okay,
Alec Baldwin is in this thing as DeLorean, which
oh,
is kind
cool.
of odd, cool, That's, depending on how you...
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll save it.
Yeah,
it's a couple of weeks away. But I will talk about a new Netflix show that I saw that was recommended to me. And I'm 4 episodes in out of 11 episodes. And it's called Dead to Me. And it is with...
My daughter Lily likes this a lot.
And it's with Christina Applegate. And it's with Linda Cardellini. And I'm not really going to say spoiler because
Is somebody dead in it?
A friend of mine. I got together with a friend of mine who said, "Here's what it's about." And he kind of told me this thing, which is the reveal at the end of the first episode. But that's. I think you kind of got to know this going
in. Is Haley Joel Osment in it?
No. So, Christina Applegate's.
Well, don't give away the twist because I haven't seen the
first. Okay, fine. Then I won't. Christina Applegate's husband dies in a car crash, and she goes to a grieving group. It's in Los Angeles. It's somewhere out in Southern California.
They love their groups.
And they're sitting all around, like 9 people or so.
Are they anywhere near Laurel Canyon?
I don't know. It's an undisclosed location, but it's definitely Southern California.
Okay.
And in this group, she meets another woman. She meets a lot of people, but she befriends, or this woman befriends, played by Christina Applegate, goes to the group, and Linda Cardellini's also in the group. And Linda Cardellini kind of befriends her, telling her that... Christina Applegate says, "Well, my husband died in a horrible car accident recently, and I'm raising two young boys alone, and it's really hard for me, and I loved my husband so much, and I don't know what to do, and I can't cope, and things are really bad." And Cardellini goes, "Yeah, I just lost my husband too, and here's my number, and you know, if you just, you know, you just can't handle it, just call me anytime, and we'll just day or night, and we'll just go out for coffee, and we'll just talk," and they become friends. And then something happens, and I will not, since Bill does not want me to reveal any spoilers.
No, come on, no.
I won't. I'll just stop there. But something.
Have you seen, how many did you say you've seen? Four?
4 out of 11. I watched 2 last night, and I watched 2 the night before, two nights before.
How's the quality? Is it holding up?
Yeah, it's real interesting.
It's not dead to you?
Has it got something for children and adults?
As my friend who used to produce our show at... New York One, we went to see Aladdin together and then caught a bite. I said, "I'm watching this." She goes, "It's an easy watch." And I'm going, "Yeah, it is really. It's not something like, you know, I did not watch Game of Thrones as you did, Bill Brigoli." Oh, yeah. But that's not an easy watch. That takes a lot of concentration from what I'm to understand. People are going, "Well, I got to read the book now to like fill in holes." And this is a very easy. It is
in the finale.
Easy.
Just answer one thing. In the finale of Game of Thrones, was one of the dragons wearing headphones?
No.
Okay, all right.
Well, but there was a water bottle.
I know.
Two water bottles, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Let me ask you this before I move away from Dead to Me. Since I don't watch the show Game of Thrones, I've been hearing that people said that the ending sucked, and some people said the ending was fine. So since you are a devotee of the show.
Not a devotee, but I do watch it.
Okay, where would you, on my Big Apple rating scale, out of a possible 4 for finale, how 4? Many apples would you
give? I think you should have gone to 5 apples.
Nah, 4.
You really should have had 5.
Right. Well, how many would you give it out
People
of
People are often confused.
Out of 4, how many would you give it?
Out of 4, I'd give it 2.5. It was okay.
Yeah, it was disappointing, I heard, a lot of people.
2.5, right. It jammed so much into that last season.
So on Twitter, trending a couple of days ago before the Game of Thrones finale, best and worst series finales on TV ever. Anybody want to chime in what they think their best, the best and the worst was?
Oh, they picked them?
It was just like thousands.
Did they like Newhart?
Well, I think that's the best. I think that's the gold standard as far as I'm concerned. The Newhart finale.
Wear more sweaters.
I think that would be my pick for best one.
Was it on that list?
Most people were picking
And Seinfeld would be on the worst list.
I didn't see a lot of Seinfelds for worst. I saw a lot of 6 Feet Unders for best, and I thought that was a great ending. Lost cropped up a lot on the worst.
Was Crashing on the best?
Nobody mentioned Crashing on the tweets that I was reading, but saw a lot of Lost is worst. Saw a lot of, you know what people seem to hate? For How I Met Your Mother. They said that was like one of the worst series finales ever. And if you ever watched that show, my daughter was very into that show. The whole show was they were going to reveal, you know, How I Met Your Mother, and all those seasons, they never revealed to you who the mother is. And apparently, I never watched that series finale. Apparently, it was a real bullshit ending. You know, you're watching all these years to find out this reveal, and it was a pretty bad.
Was it Faye Dunaway?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. But that was cropping up.
She was her sister. She was her father.
You got a worst series finale?
You know what? I generally don't watch a lot of them. And I got a feeling that they never rerun those, do they? Do you ever watch a rerun of a series finale?
Yeah.
Seinfeld, because I watch Seinfeld reruns a lot, and that crops up from time to time.
No, that was an hour long.
Yeah, but they chop it up into 2. They just chop it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? And they show them?
Yeah.
With how disliked that was?
There's a Seinfeld episode that's great. one of my favorites, when George wants his unemployment. It's a Keith Hernandez is in the episode, and George wants his unemployment benefits extended, and he goes out with the ugly daughter of the woman who has the power to extend his benefits. And there's a whole plot line in there about it parallels the Zapruder film on
The JFK. Spit thing.
So that's an hour, and they chop that up into two for right. syndication. So yeah, okay. I okay. seen that
calm down.
So what's your worst or best? Newhart's your best.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I mean, I was not that happy. Cheers was good, and then they got really drunk and went on the Tonight Show. Remember that? They yeah. were live from Boston.
Oh yeah.
I think I was disappointed in The Sopranos.
Oh yeah, that cropped up a lot on the worst list. A lot. And thank you for reminding me. That cropped up quite a bit.
But I didn't stay with Lost till the end.
You lost the show. You just got lost. Yeah, and the best. Yeah, I thought that Mary Tyler Moore was a good ending. That was if you want to go way back, you know, that was a nice.
I don't remember that.
That was everybody gets everybody. They all think that Ted is the change station management, and everybody figures they're going to fire Ted. But what happens is everybody, the guy goes. It's the guy actually who played David Ogden Stiers, who played Charles on MASH.
Yeah,
and he's the new station manager, and everybody's going, "Oh, Ted is toast. Ted's fired. Ted's gone." And the station manager, played by David Ogden Stiers, goes, "Look, I've got to recognize when something's good and when something's bad. All of you are fired, but Ted, you're great. You're staying." So Ted gets to stay. And Ted's freaking out for the first half of the episode. Oh, Lou, I don't want to lose my job, Lou. It's very good. It's a very good series.
That's
now.
Funny.
So
a lot of very talented people worked on that show. James L. Brooks.
Oh my God!
And they stole that whole plot from New York One, right?
Les Charles and Glenn Charles, who went on to create Cheers, right. He worked on that show, and they went on. The people that Mary Tyler Moore went on to do Taxi, and they went on to do Wings, and they went on to do.
I'll tell you what I hate Cheers. Is when a series ends without a finale, like the plug gets pulled on it. And the reason I'm bringing that up is now, one time that HBO did that I was very pissed off about was for Deadwood. And they have gotten all the people back together. They've done a Deadwood movie, and I hear it's really, really good. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure you'll send me a link, Neil.
I don't have a link, but... I don't
Ian
know.
McShane, that cast was top drawer. It was Shakespeare with a six shooter, and I just thought it was a great show.
I never watched that show. I only watched like the first episode, and I don't know. It was weird because they were cursing so much, and I was like, "This is unrealistic." And then I hear that David Milch, who created the series, said, "No, there was a lot of cursing going on."
I'll give you another one. I never saw the end to because I didn't stay with it. Westworld. Mm. Sue never and I really tried to watch Westworld.
Did
we
got end?
Into it. And it had that storyline had a finale.
Oh, well, I don't know. Well, Crashing, even though you love that show and I like the show, HBO pulled the plug on that, but there was sort of a finale.
No, they had a finale. They knew that was the end.
Yeah, so that was kind of okay.
I love that one. I thought that was great.
Yeah, so, but most of them are disappointing. I mean, back to Game of Thrones. I mean, people just anticipate this great thing, and it's just...
Kind of like this podcast.
That's right.
They're pretty sure it's going to be.
That's right.
What it
so,
is.
So, I don't know. But just to finish up on Dead to Me. So, I recommend four episodes in. It is an easy watch, and I do recommend it. And I really like Linda Cardellini. She was very appealing in Green Book and whatever. I mean, all the way back to playing Velma on Scooby Doo. I think she made her debut. I think she was a Judd Apatow.
She was. In
Discovery
Freaks and Geeks,
from Freaks and Geeks. Yeah,
yeah
a lot
she's
of,
been in tons of stuff. Yeah, you know, she was in Mad Men. Mad Men, she lived downstairs.
Oh, that was a bad finale. Mad Men was a really bad finale.
Yeah.
We find out that he wrote that.
I'd like to teach
Don
the world
Draper
to sing.
Wrote the Coca-Cola. I'd like to teach the world. Yeah. I'd like to buy the world a Coke or something like that.
That was an idea that probably looked better on paper than it did. Him in that Zen garden, like sitting there, was kind of weird.
Yeah.
So this is the Memorial Day weekend, and there are a couple of big movies that we talked about opening. But what's coming next week?
Well, I can tell you Godzilla. Next week.
God, how many Godzillas have there been built?
Oh, don't ask. I don't know. Many.
Too many.
Many. No one counts anymore because there are just so many and they're
broken
off.
And was the Raymond Burr one, was that the first Godzilla?
I believe it was. I actually saw the original Japanese version of that without Raymond Burr.
Really? Really? Yeah. Is that any good?
No, it was okay.
But it needed Raymond Burr. It needed Raymond. His excellent portrayal of Perry Mason went on to make him money. Right. Della, get in here.
Yeah, so we got that.
That's where Raymond Burr lived, on Della Street.
We also have...
Ma.
Ma, and we have Rocket Man.
Ma and Rocket Man.
Which we're all, well, I'm seeing.
I'm stuck.
They went wild for it at Cannes. And they did not go wild for, or they had mixed results for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
They went wild for it.
I heard mixed.
I've been reading some
stuff. I heard it's really long.
Yeah, it's long, boring in places, according to Owen Gleiberman.
Why, the Tarantino film, boring in places?
A couple of big critics
said. It's interesting. What I was reading is that it was as promised. He said it resembles closely his most famous film in terms of
Pulp Fiction.
Stylistically, and people say that it is, and they said it lived up to the
hype. Owen Gleiberman said it's reduced to just pulp.
Well, you know, I don't really, you know.
We'll see.
Owen and
we'll
I don't see eye we'll to eye on a lot
I mean,
of
I'm,
stuff,
I give a
when
wide
When is it
opening?
When can we see it?
I don't know.
Is it July 26th,
there
I think.
There we go.
Okay. Well, that's the one that I'm most looking forward to seeing this summer. It was yesterday, which I saw Tribeca, which I'll talk about when we get closer to the opening of that. But I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm really looking forward to Toy Story 4. That's what Bill said on the show.
Yeah.
I love the Toy Story films, and Zach took the words right out of my mouth on the show. Each sequel is better than its predecessor.
How often does that happen?
Big shoes to fill.
Certainly not in Godzilla.
Okay.
Well, last Godzilla sucked.
I saw this one. It doesn't suck.
Here's a Godzilla story.
But there's a million others. Mothra, they're all in it,
they're
right?
They're all so in there, crazy. All the hits, yeah.
It's so crazy. And the so we have that to look forward to.
And they destroy a very famous baseball park.
Oh.
Do you remember SCTV? Did you ever used to watch SCTV?
No.
Okay. Well, they did a thing. I guess it
Johnny
was
LaRue.
It was
no crane shot.
It was supposed to be Mothra, but it was Grogan. It was this fictional character, Grogan. And he was like a Godzilla kind of Mothra kind of thing. And he makes a guest, and he's the guest on some Johnny Carson-esque type talk show.
Uh-huh.
But it's an Asian version of the Japanese version of the Johnny Carson.
And they're
Carson
all laughing hysterically.
You
I remember
saw this,
that.
Right? Yeah. Oh, Mothra, you're so funny. You're so funny, Mothra. And Mothra's just grunting and making these noises, and they're like just like, it's really hard to describe this.
No, SCTV is great.
But
Eugene
really
Levy.
Fucking funny.
Rick Moranis.
I mean, you know, with John Candy. And
John Candy.
And
John,
and
Joe Flaherty.
Martin and Martin Short. And
yeah.
And,
it's definitely worth seeking
Rick
out.
Rick Moranis and all these people. And
sounds know. Canadian to me.
Well, I'm not looking forward to Godzilla.
Okay.
But, well, you'll talk about that.
I'll tell you all
sure,
about it.
Tell me
North.
All about it. The all right. one, the one when.
Oh boy, here he's
one,
still going.
God, when,
oh
when
boy.
You get this like 50-foot creature, but somehow he's able to slither into like a New York City subway, like into one of those little narrow.
Oh look, my battery's running out.
Yeah. Oh really?
Well, okay. Well, what do we do? What do we do on this week on the show every week, Bill?
We sit around waiting for you to stop talking.
That's what I'll do.
And we watch the bad movies so you don't have to.
Follow me.
This week, Aladdin is one of those.
Follow me. No,
and
I don't agree.
Booksmart is a great movie.
Seeing it again.
Some people are seeing it twice.
I don't know, maybe I'll see it again because you guys. If Bill Bregoli is going to see this thing twice, that actually speaks volumes.
Neil is talking, but his mic is in the other room.
Okay, so follow me at Neil Rosenapples on Twitter.
At Bill McCuddy on Twitter.
And Bill Bregoli, become his Facebook friend. You're on Instagram?
No.
No, I am.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. Anyway, thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. We'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.